Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
It's going to be a fantastic day. There's no shortage of hot topics. Both of our baseball teams are off today.
Yeah, it's your hot topic here. Hot topic.
They've got the day off, but it's sort of a tale of two baseball teams right now. Even though the Sox are in first place, you wonder what's happening in Kansas City today. Are phone calls being made?
We're having a team meeting.
Anyone visiting from Arizona or Chicago in Kansas City? The Cubs are off after another walk-off. They're back, Waddle. Cubs are back.
Yeah, I know. Was your insinuation that maybe Jerry Reinsdorf was flying from Arizona to Kansas City to meet with the team?
Not necessarily with the team, but with Tony, right? How did the so in the wake of everything that's happened yesterday with Tony La Russa and this becoming a weekly occurrence of, hey, our manager sort of is not putting us in the right spot to win. That's the manager and coach's job, right? Is to put players in the best position to win. And he has week in and week out not done that. And there have been various examples of that. So the story goes that this whole idea of when they decided to fire Ricky Renteria, which was the right idea. And then Rick Hahn looked enthused.
Yeah.
He was about to hit the road. He was going to interview some candidates. He was going to mesh.
Rick, your travel plans have been canceled.
I'm here in Scottsdale. Tony and I are having some soup. We're at the deli. We're enjoying some things, some chopped liver.
By the way, who has soup in the afternoon?
People go to a deli.
I'm a warm climate, 2 o'clock. Like, the last thing I want is some warm soup. Or am I eating cold soup?
You drink hot coffee, don't you, year round?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
Sure.
But
what's
not
the
a
difference?
Lot of people.
Yeah.
I drink
iced coffee, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm more of a seasonal iced coffee guy.
That's my point.
More so iced coffee now, even in the winter.
What about a gazpacho? That's a cold soup.
I know. No, thanks.
I don't like cold soup.
Hard pass.
It's weird for me. The cold vegetable taste is weird, or whatever that is.
I don't eat cold soup either.
Yeah, it's odd to me.
I like a good warm, soup. Don't get me wrong. It's just like for at noon or 1 in
98 degrees in the desert.
Ugh.
But all I'm saying is,
cold beer and an Italian sub.
This was not the plan, right? Rick Hahn, think about, this is what we went back to in the offseason. They go to Oakland, they lose that series. But they arrived early. Mm-hmm. And look at this. We got Luis Robert. He's fantastic. We fleeced the Cubs for Quintana. We got Cease and we got Aloy. Look at trading Chris Sale, which started this whole thing. Moncada's on the right track, and Kopech now is finally healthy, and he's ready to go. You look at what you turned Adam Eaton into to Washington. You got Lucas Giolito, who could be a Cy Young guy year in and year out. You signed Keuchel. You re-signed Abreu. Tim Anderson in the last 2 years, who was a homegrown kid, has just blossomed in front of your eyes. Everywhere you turned, it was perfect, perfect, perfect. All pretty good, but, that's great. Now it's time to get the guy who's going to lead this team. And Rick was set to travel the country, or at least the Zoom world, and interview these people. And then the next thing you knew, Jerry was having soup on a warm day in Arizona with Tony La Russa, and they had brainstormed this idea. Tony had an itch to come back. Jerry's always loved Tony. Tony's a Hall of Fame manager. I've got this team. This would be what a great story it would be. He returns to the first place where he managed, and he would lead us to a World Series. Mm. So all I'm asking you is, does Jerry get back on a plane?
No.
And sit down for lunch in Kansas City with Tony and say, look, we want to make this work. You got it. Do you have what it takes?
Answer your own question. Do you think that happened?
Should it happen?
I didn't say that. I said, do you think it happens?
I don't believe it will happen.
I don't either. And look, I think very wealthy, very successful people in a lot of ways have a high tolerance for this type of situation. And by that, I mean they are not going to be forced into making a change because people are clamoring. If they feel like making the change because it's the best situation for their team, they make that decision. But like the concept of maybe pressuring people, and I'm not suggesting that that's where you're leaning, but like I said, I think very successful, very wealthy people have a high tolerance for the noise that goes along with some of this. And we're 5 weeks into this. I think if Jerry Reinsdorf was sold on Tony being the guy to take them to the promised land, I don't think that Jerry's going to be bothered. Even though there have been several mistakes made, I personally don't believe that the owner is going to be incentivized to move off of his decision at this point.
And I was even texting my neighbor, who's a big Sox fan, asking about, you know, and Carmen and I have talked about this. Does Tony look in the mirror and see Hall of Fame baseball guy and say, I've had a great career. This isn't how I want to be remembered. And the best thing to do is just know when to say when and just...
My best guess is that he won't do that either.
I've heard a lot of people saying he's too proud, but if you're like, I don't think if you would walk away, it would ruin your legacy. It may tarnish your legacy if you continue to do this and don't understand when to say, look, enough, all right? Like, I wanted to try it. It sounded great on paper. I felt like I had a lot to give left still to this game. But in the last decade, the way the game has changed, it's a completely different sport from 2011 to 2021. Totally different. Maybe more of an evolution in baseball over the last 10 years than the previous 20. You know what I mean? Like, this could be longer than a 10-year period in any time during baseball.
Yes. Do you consider yourself a competitive person?
Yes, very.
When you dig yourself a hole, are you more inclined to try to dig yourself out, or do you call for help and just tap out?
Golf got too hard for me, and I said, I'm not wasting my time anymore. I've got to know when to tap out.
Well, I guess...
And this isn't fruitful for me.
My prediction would be then that Tony La Russa is not going to pull a Sylvie here.
You beat me in tennis, and I thought I was a really good... Our old program director one time when he first came from the mothership, he told me how good he was in tennis, and I beat him six love. Wow. I thought I had a good tennis game going, and then like I got a little big for myself, and I challenged Waddle, and as we know, Tom Waddle, even when he doesn't play a sport, is still naturally great at a sport.
Great to start.
And you wiped the floor with my tennis game.
Well, I used your aggression, and I used your whatever it was against you.
Do you know that was the last time I played in a competitive tennis match when I loved playing tennis?
You must have been a ball of fun as a kid.
I'm not good enough.
Yeah, you must have been just a ball of fun as a kid.
This isn't fruitful for me.
Again, I'm just telling you, I don't believe that the owner who was responsible for the hire has decided that this isn't going to work well. I don't believe that. That would be my, from the outside looking in, opinion that there will be no change of heart there. And I find it hard to believe for a guy who does have a Hall of Fame resume, is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, that despite the fact that he has dug himself a hole with regard to his return to baseball after a decade away, that the competitor in him is going to, you know, inspire him to want to make good on what has gone wrong. That's my prediction on how this thing will transpire. There will be some that are being less critical of Tony that are going to tell you, hey, Sylvie, look, they're in first place. They're tied for first in the division. That ain't me. I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of different narratives out there.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
And so for anyone who says that, I'm like, cool. Even despite a lot of these flops, you're a first place team. Don't let this cost you anymore. Cut your losses. Don't let it get to September and there's a big game and you're playing for home field advantage and something goes wrong. Don't be in a wild card matchup and it's win or go home and every out is magnified because it's an elimination game. Yes, they're good, but that's... Don't let it cost you. This is like the Cody Parkey thing, okay? Like, it's very similar to Cody Parkey. Cody Parkey showed you very early that he was not worth the deal. And he didn't want to go and he didn't want to practice at Soldier Field. And there were all these red flags, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't understand until they got burnt on the very last play of their first playoff game. Don't let this become another double doink. You cannot let this happen in September and October. And that's why you should consider it a blessing in the first 5 weeks of the season that you're sitting here. It isn't about where they are today. It's about trust. Do the players trust him? Players trust him to put him in the best position to win? Does Liam Hendricks trust him when he botched the rule? Does Lucas Giolito trust him when he stayed with him too long? Does some of the relievers trust him because they stayed with him too long in Seattle? This is when you're a player and you don't trust your coach after 5 weeks of a season, it is setting up for something bad. Don't be lazy about this and say, well, they're still in first place, Sylvie. Like,
that's lowering the bar.
It's lowering the bar. Don't let this become a Cody Parkey. Do you need to see it happen in October to say it was wrong? Or do you understand now that we tried? I love Tony. He's a Hall of Fame manager. I've always remained close with him. I have respected everything he did in Oakland and then St. Louis and then with Major League Baseball. But you gotta cut your losses.
That's a great presentation, and it would move me to make a change. I don't think there will be.
So, do you believe Rick Hahn is in Kansas City? Are there being hard conversations being had? To me, I think it is valid to ask the coaching staff to be better. I also think it's a tad scapegoatish, where if you're going to circle the coaching staff, yes, coaching staff should help head coaches and managers. But if the manager needs that much help, you got the wrong manager.
Amen, brother.
So I want you to hear this statement, too. This was in the last couple of days. End of an era. To me, it's sad to see the older guys like that who kind of hang around a little bit too long. To me, it's a little like Ali fighting as deep as he did when he should not have been fighting. That was Jerry Remy, the Red Sox announcer. Do you know who he was talking about?
Carl Yastrzemski.
He was talking about Albert Pujols.
Oh, okay.
Albert Pujols today was designated for assignment by the Angels because he's not good at what he used to do well. It's okay when we look at 38-year-old players and we say, it's time. Willie Mays with the Mets. Ken Griffey Jr. at the end of his career. Albert Pujols playing in the last year of his deal with the Angels.
Tom Brady with the Bucks. No.
It should be the same with managing. You got, this isn't an ageist thing. This is about the ability to do the job. The Angels today said, Albert Pujols, thank you. You're not good at what you do anymore, and I think the White Sox really need to think about this. And I hope Tony's thinking about this, because Tony La Russa's had a fantastic career. 312-332-3776. We'll talk about yesterday's walk-off win and a little premature celebration from one member of the Cubs.
Oh,
all that
boy.
Coming up next.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Look, I didn't think that George McCaskey should hire Mike Ditka when he was 76. This isn't like a White Sox thing or hating anything. It's just I think it's apparent.
I think it's based on accomplishment, or it's based on your ability to do the job. And whether it's, you know, it's a 36-year-old defensive tackle who can no longer rush the passer, or it's a however old Albert Pujols is, can't catch up to the 97-mile-an-hour fastball any longer. Look, at some point, for whatever reason, your reflexes, your ability to process things, whatever it is, you'll come to a point when you have diminished capacity with regard to doing your job. And I don't think you should dance around the issue or feel bad about it, saying, well, listen, why is Tony struggling to make the right decisions right now? Here's a guy who's a Hall of Fame manager, okay, who we thought, again, the upside to bringing Tony in after being away from the game, or at least in the dugout for the last 10 years, was you were going to have a strategic advantage over everyone else, right? He's the guy that revolutionized the way you use bullpens. Like, he's been seen everything, done everything.
Sure.
Like, he's going to give you an edge because he brings this vast experience and accomplishment. When that's not evident, then what is what's the advantage for going in this direction? And I think it's a really valid question, and one that nobody should feel uncomfortable having to ask the question.
I've brought this up lots of times on this show. That 2011 World Series had a major bullpen malfunction because of Tony La Russa's communication. And then he retired. And the writing was on the wall then. That the guy who's awesome, he went out on a high and he retired 10 years ago. Like, Rizzo was on the station today talking about, you know, the spin rates. Like, just think about the spin rate in the last 2 or 3 years, the way it's increased. Like, players who were good on 2016 Cubs now all of a sudden can hit in 2021, 5 years later. Like, do you know how fast-paced between 2011 and 21 has become with the way they throw, with velocity, the spin rate, the replay rules, all these crazy nutty rules.
A lot of stuff's done in the lab.
The game has totally changed.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's been a 10-year period to miss, and you've missed these last 10 years, it's a different sport.
I still stick by it. Like, yesterday, I mean, I'm over it, don't get me wrong, but, like, I get the grief that they're receiving for not knowing the rule. And then I see people saying, well, you didn't know it. The announcers in you and I aren't paid to know the rule. It is an egregious mistake. Again, though, I thought the more egregious thing that transpired yesterday was the tactical decision that turned out to be obviously the wrong decision. Of stealing Garcia with a runner on third, who, by the way, happens to be your closer, and Billy Hamilton at the plate with one out.
I mean,
like, that to me is that, like, I'm sitting in the office with you. I'm not Tommy Baseball. Love me some good baseball, but, like, I'm saying to you when it's going on, I'm like, what the hell are they stealing? And then you hear DJ, you know, saying, hey, the broadcast,
"What are we doing here?"
Yeah. Like that to me, you don't know that rule. Shame on you.
So here's the pitch. Garcia's going to take off for second base. The throw down by Barnhart gets him.
I don't know what we're doing.
See, those types of mistakes are going to cost you more in the long run, in my opinion. The tactical decisions that you make that are the obvious wrong decisions, those I think are going to hurt you in the long
run
more than not knowing the exact, you know, letter of the law with a new rule book, which everyone should know. Don't get me wrong, but that's type of stuff. That's not knowing a newfangled rule. That's looking at a situation, and the average baseball fan can look at it and go, "What the did you do that?"
It's processing. It's decision making. And just think about it, Waddle. If you ever needed like that smack in the face to realize, hey, look how bad this is. You could argue about two things there in that, like,
right,
basic in that half inning. Like, it's not just one little sort of small miss. Like, those are two big things. Like you're saying, you're arguing the point then in your book still, trying to steal second with the go-ahead run on third is so egregious, especially with Billy Hamilton at the plate. And now Billy Hamilton can't bunt because you've got the pitcher on third base. They don't want collision at the plate. He even said that in his statement. I mean, there are two big, gigantic things here. And I'm just saying that don't let this be your Cody Parkey moment where he gave you reasons that he should be cut. And then in the most important time of the season, you get burnt again in October. And we're like, whoa, what happened there? Well, he gave you all the warning
signs. I think
it's
a really good analogy. I made you a pizza, though, to see if it can calm you down.
Connie's frozen pizza.
Connie's frozen pizza. It's a deluxe.
You have to go get it. It's been 5 minutes.
So go get it now.
Go get your pizza.
So the way we cook it here, too, and these are made for the oven, and I could use some pizza, too. Though, I mean, I've been trying to lose a few lbs of, you know, get down to like an A cup here.
Have you not? I mean, it's a thick boy summer. Look at your mean. Look at even Jock Peterson. He's got a little. It's hanging over a little bit.
What was the Will Smith thing that was
Will
going on?
Will Smith doesn't care about it. Will Smith has been at the peak of physical condition his entire life.
Right. He's getting
and right
fat now,
now. He's at the peak. No. He's at the peak physical condition for himself. You do you. If you want to eat a pizza,
no.
You
but
eat
did
pizza.
You see? Did you
Yo,
see
I
somebody
saw the
go
picture.
With Will Smith look a little chubby for oh, Will? You know,
in your eyes, in his eyes, he's perfect.
Oh, and yeah.
Listen, this is. If I've learned anything, I'm gonna do me. You do you. You want to eat a piece of pizza? Eat a piece of pizza. Armchair nutritionist, be damned.
Oh, yeah, I don't
care. You should listen to the podcast, though, ESPN Chicago app.
It is a good podcast.
Yeah. But then, you know, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. So and then welcome to everyone on Twitch as well.
Look at this
good,
bad boy.
Good crowd. So Waddle made this in a toaster oven.
Look at That's
this. This is made for a regular oven. Waddle has just cooked a pizza in a toaster oven. Full pizza, not like bagel bites,
no.
Something like that. That's a good zoom in. Who's working the camera right now?
Me.
That's you? I don't know how these things work around
Hey, Waddle, how are you going to cut that pizza?
It looks,
what are you going to fold that thing in half and just try and house it by
use
yourself?
Use a scissor. Yeah, get a scissor.
I don't put your hands all
get
over
a scissor.
It either.
I didn't
Let's...
touch it with my fingers there, bro. I put a paper towel down, put the pizza on the pizza box. I didn't cut it because I don't have any utensils and I didn't want to maul it with my paws.
Did
I didn't want to go all caveman with it.
You turn off the toaster oven?
Yeah, don't burn the station down.
Oh my God!
It goes
always
off on its
look
own.
After the kids. Here.
It goes
check.
Off on its own. It was on a timer. I think it was cooked perfectly.
Yeah, people are saying that they thought it was a little well, but in a toaster oven, I thought you did well. There's
Thank
lots
you.
Of good cheese in the middle there.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe the back end got a little bit, the little junk in the trunk.
We're
going to
call
here.
That the caramelized crust. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how about we say that?
My point is, I knew how angst ridden you were earlier, and I know the right. Well, I could have gotten you a glass of tequila on the rocks, but I didn't
sure,
think I wanted
Pinot
to do that
Noir,
this early.
Something like that.
No, I wasn't going to get you Pinot Noir. I was going to get you a good, you know, glass of tequila. Or I was going to make you pizza and see if it would calm you down.
Yeah, look.
I told you yesterday I'm the comforter.
I don't think I'm riled up. I'm just, it goes against the sports common sense meter. That's all it is.
So
all right?
What do we do? When the meter's broken, you have a pizza.
We're not farmers like you say.
No,
I mean,
we're not.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked. I've been shocked. I can't say I've been shocked because I was against this from the start, the decision making. But here we are. Here we are now.
Yeah, here we have a pizza.
All right. Well,
yeah, I made it better.
I've seen restaurants cut pizzas with scissors too. The baking scissors or cooking scissors or I don't know what you call.
What the next break? I'll go back and see if I can.
Yeah,
I can find a knife. But I just wanted to make sure I didn't burn the joint down, so I went and got it.
Yep.
So.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
You happy about your? I mean, you Cubs, you got to be excited about a little sweep of the Dodgers. Something.
I'm
I don't think the Dodgers have been swept in a 3-game set in 2 years.
I'm not looking down the road right now. For these last 3 games in the 2 days, and Tuesday and Wednesday, I kind of just took it for what it was. Fun baseball games, exciting finishes. By the way, the last 3 baseball games decided by Chicago baseball have all been in the 10th inning rule. The 10th inning
has
had the extra inning
rule.
You
probably had your pants off all
night
last
exciting.
Night, didn't
you? Well, you're never out of it. The Dodgers may score in that top half, but look, we get the runner on second, too.
Here's a gift for you.
And yeah, now all of a sudden, the Jock Peterson thing, we were in bed. You guys always make fun of me for this. When it gets late, I'll watch these games in bed.
I always watch games in bed. That's not weird.
I think the reason why we point it out is that's a detail to the story that's unnecessary. You
guys,
can just say,
I was
I'm
all
watching,
tucked in.
Yeah.
I had my blanket all up underneath my chin.
Yeah, I'm watching the Cubs game.
Well, because I outwardly Jockey yelled and clapped because when he swung and the way Boog reacted and then the way he flipped his bat and turned to the dugout, I started going crazy like he had just walked off his old team. And that didn't even get to the wall.
Midway through the
warning track.
How does a guy like Jock Peterson, who is, listen, he's not Hank Aaron, but he's a fairly accomplished home run hitter, right? Wouldn't you say? Like, he's hit his share of dingers in the past.
Remember the home run derby performance? He had a really good home run derby performance.
How does he not know that ball's not hit far and hard enough to get out of the park?
That West Coast air isn't the same as a cold, chilly night.
Right.
Even so, you would think that, like...
I mean, he's played there before, right? Like, it's not the first time he's played at Wrigley.
And, like, listen, I can see hitting and thinking maybe, but to strut and pimp the way that he did... Like, you would have thought that ball would have flown over into the street.
I thought it was hitting the right field scoreboard.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to hit the scoreboard. the way he reacted, and I'm cheering in bed, and my wife is looking at me like, what are you? And I'm like, I don't know what just happened. It was a sack fly. Good. We're tied. But that's not what I was expecting.
A lot of bedroom celebration. A lot of bedroom celebration.
You know who didn't turn off the game? I'll tell you who did not turn off the game. I got an update on this.
Oh, good.
312-332-3776. Do you believe the White Sox are doing any tough conversations today, or do you believe it's business as usual? Are they meeting with the entire coaching staff? Are they trying to go through the rule book today? Is Jerry rethinking the hire? If you want to talk about the Cubs, how have you taken the last three games, the sweep over the Dodgers, and Anthony Rizzo questioning something with pitchers? That's next.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Some Connie's frozen pizza in the studio. Waddle did a good
Not
job.
Not bad, right? Not bad.
Waddle cooked a frozen pizza in a toaster oven.
Yeah.
Not exactly like some gourmet chef's oven.
No. It's
really good with the crust.
Chris
fantastic.
Is a big pizza guy, too. So
cornmeal crust.
Chris is interested. He's more than welcome to have himself a slab of pizza as well.
We got some onions. We've got some peppers. We've got mushroom.
Yeah, cheese.
And cheese.
Pepperoni?
Pepperoni.
Pepperoni, yeah. I'm back
sausage,
on a pepperoni kick.
Olives, onions. Well, you could pick those things off. You can flick them off.
Are you a single ingredient guy?
No, I don't need a whole salad on my pizza.
What's your go to condiment?
Yeah, cheese, pepperoni.
I'm pepperoni cool with that.
And onion
pizza
guy. I'm cool with.
I love mushrooms on pizza, but I'm usually in the minority. Most people are like, no mushrooms.
Yeah, I wouldn't order mushrooms.
To be honest, I've been in a big kick where I just go cheese, because you can't really... A good cheese pizza, there's very few things in life that beat a good cheese pizza.
You know, and sometimes we do the half and half thing, and then we get one side overcooked and the other side undercooked because of the ingredients on there, and I don't like that either. So I'm with you. Like, if someone wants cheese, get a separate cheese pizza and then do something with... You know,
well, because you know also that you're going to finish your side and attack the other side as well.
And eat the whole thing.
Right.
You know me, like, with pizza.
Yeah, no, I know.
That's why I don't like to participate in this.
I may have a slice of the extra onion, but...
Like, I'm supposed to stop now after one piece? What do you mean? I'm just...
It's for you, man.
All of a sudden, my appetite is going.
It's comfort food.
Yeah. All right, so I want to play you a few things here from... Rizzo, first of all, here's the jock. Here's the jock RBI. This is the premature celebration.
One ball, one strike. Pitch. That ball is driven. Drop the bat, and no, a premature bat drop. Boy, Jock Peterson thought he had it. It does bring the tying run in. I have seen bat flips in KBO, and I've now seen bat drops on balls that aren't out of the yard. Jock Peterson was convinced he'd won it.
Like, you can hear...
That's Carl Ravitch, by the way, on ESPN.
Ravi realizes it, I think, before Peterson, because Peterson hit the ball, dropped the bat, and then was pimping to the bench.
Right.
He was looking into the dugout... And then I think maybe he got a high sign from somebody in there that, like, that's not going out.
Like I said, it wasn't close.
I know.
It wasn't like it hit the basket. It wasn't like it hit the IV.
It was halfway on the warning track.
Yeah. Are we going to bench him? Bench him?
No.
You going to bench him?
No.
If it was Javi, you'd bench him.
No. You would.
No, I wouldn't.
Now you're spinning here. I've always been a not. That was the argument. I've always said don't. I've just told Javi to run.
I'm just surprised you know Javi's name. The usual suspects that come out when Javi does something were pretty quiet yesterday when Jock Peterson didn't run and was pimping a home run.
Don't be like the callers. Now, where you're like grouping us into the usual people, call them out.
I'm saying the usual suspect cap, the usual suspects that want to bench people when things happen. I'm just speaking from what I've heard before.
It's not going to end well.
Oh, well, today's going to be a very interesting day on
the
this
usual,
front.
I mean, he's programming lots of today. Fights he's going programming on. At least an hour
yeah,
in this show.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's fine.
We've got some good.
I think for charity or at least for Twitch followers or a show promo, we have to have. a community wrestling match.
No, I'm not. I don't want to wrestle anybody.
Yes, I want to see you guys wrestle.
I just want people, if they don't agree with his opinion, to stop being discredited.
For the show. Do it for the show.
No, I'm not wrestling anybody.
Why? Do it for the show. Yeah. How many times have you said to me over 14 years, do it for the show?
Right. I haven't asked you to wrestle. Who have I asked you to wrestle?
Oh, I bet you've asked me to do some more stupid stuff than that.
Here's Rizzo's walk-off. This is from Marquee.
Tied at 5. The pitch to Rizzo. Bounce to the left side. It gets through. Duffy around third. In to score. Cubs win. Anthony Rizzo walks it off. And they can't catch him.
Ran down to the clubhouse.
Okay, like, this is like, that's baseball to me. Anthony Rizzo, first of all, the Dodgers pitcher was pitching to Walters like he was Rizzo and pitching to Rizzo like he was Walters. And I stole that from JD because that's what JD said. But I sent you guys a text in the middle. I said, it's criminal if he doesn't just throw strikes with Rizzo on deck.
Right, to Walters.
My baseball antenna is up.
Yeah.
But my point is where did Anthony Rizzo send that baseball? Between a gaping hole between...
It was nice hitting.
It was beautiful. And the night before, I believe, he got Bryant in scoring position, or at least from second, who was already in scoring position. It was extra innings. He advanced Bryant from second base to third base, doing the same thing, throwing the bat out and hitting a ground ball up the middle to advance the runner. It is professional hitting at its finest, and that's the kind of stuff that I enjoy.
Yeah, it was really good. Wilbon was texting me. Wilbon was not happy with Rizzo on the double play.
That was not good.
Not stepping on first and then throwing to second.
It was redemption for him.
It was. And Wilbon was angry. And I said, oh, you're watching. He texted me. He usually texts both of us, but I guess for the Cubs stuff, I'm solo here. And I'm like, oh, this is great. You're still watching this late. And he was in a restaurant in Scottsdale. And he said like 50% of the people in the restaurant were Cubs fans, and they were all like engaged watching the game. And then he was very excited when they won.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I'm not going to go as far as Randy Merkin always does when a big win takes place, and that's the momentum changer for the season. But like I said, you guys swept a Dodgers team that is completely out of sorts, by the way. But you swept a Dodgers team that hasn't been swept in a three-game set in a couple years.
What would they lose, 13 of 17 or something like that?
I think so.
And like, I think there will be plenty of time to talk about what you get for KB. But in a series like that,
enjoy.
I'm here to enjoy baseball and to cheer on my favorite team. And for three games, I'm not telling you it's anything big picture. For three games, that was a fun series.
Amen. That's what it's supposed to be.
I want to play you some Rizzo. Rizzo talks about the shift here, too. So Rizzo was on with Cap and Jay Hood, and he is weekly, usually on Tuesdays, but he was on today. And he talked about these pitchers are just getting so good, and it's always an advantage to the pitcher. So start on the shift, but then you'll hear about the spin rate. It's a little nerdy, and he even recognizes it, but take a listen.
The spin stuff is it's just pretty crazy when you really get into it in depth on how much of a difference it makes as far as the fastballs and even the sliders. And I mean, not to discredit any, these guys they work so hard, and all these different programs and throwing programs and technology. And you can credit Trevor Bauer for kind of being one of the pioneers in this. Everyone thought he was crazy for, you know, the driveline stuff and in a long toss program when he first came in. But you see a lot of these guys now using the weighted balls and just increasing their velocity. You know, sticky stuff or not, guys are still throwing 100 miles an hour. And it's, you know, it's credit to all these pitchers and taking advantage of the technology and continuing to push the human body.
So they've discovered, you know, the more the ball spins, obviously, now they can measure every RPM, that the better it is.
Probably,
so
probably harder for the batter as well to distinguish between a fastball and something else. I mean, if the ball is
the way it looks, yeah. So the question is this just like batters using pine tar so it doesn't slip out of their hands? Or is this more like a batter corking the bat using something artificial to increase performance? What is it? You know what I mean? That's what I want to ask Jeff Passan coming up at 3:00. Like, is this, again, are we getting artificial numbers based on not the ability, but because of this substance they're using to get sticky? Or is this simply just like a batter who uses batting gloves and pine tar so he doesn't slip with the bat?
With regard to pitchers dominating hitters in recent weeks, the first 5 weeks of the baseball season, I thought Len said something to us a couple of weeks ago that resonated with me most, that nobody is able to hit the high fastball that's in the strike zone. And we asked him what he thought may be an appropriate change to the game to get more balls in play and everything else. And he said maybe not calling the high fastball a strike. I said to you the other day, if I was a hitter, knowing I can't hit the high fastball, if I take a high strike, okay, fine.
Let
I'm going to focus on the middle of the strike zone and below, and that's going to be my attack zone. And I'm not even going to go for the high fastball because in a lot of instances, that thing's rising a little bit. You think it's a strike, and it still has an upward momentum. And in a lot of instances, it's not a strike anyway.
I'm told we got to take Frank right now. Frank in Scottsdale, you're on ESPN 1000. Were you with Wilbon yesterday watching the game, Frank?
No, I was not, but Michael is out here, and I see him every now and then. I work at a PGA store, and he comes in. But my comment, guys, was just about Jack Peterson and the bat flips. Guys, I just don't get that. I mean, I'm 76 years old, same age as La Russa. And when I played, you didn't have to let people know you were good. Artie Banks never did a bat flip. Dan Musial, Hank Aaron. So, and I understand what you guys are saying, that the game has changed, but not for me. And this craziness of putting a guy on second base, that I don't get that. And I don't like the seven-inning games, although it worked in our favor for my Cubbies.
Frank, do you think you're capable to manage 162 baseball games?
I am not, but I believe Tony La Russa is.
Ooh.
And that, yeah, they should talk with the staff like you guys are recommending. He cannot do everything. That's why you have a bench coach, and that's why you have other coaches. You know, it cost the White Sox 3 games, and again, I'm a Cubs fan, but I'm also a White Sox fan, unless they're playing the Cubs, and I would love to see the White Sox win. I would love to see a crosstown series, but either one for winning. And I think we just ought to hang in there with Tony La Russa.
All right, thank you. Appreciate
thank
it,
you,
Frank.
Frank and Abdallah seeing life the same way with regard to Jack Peterson not running it out.
Stan Musial never did it.
No,
there was never any emotion in the old days.
Listen, flip the bat. I don't care.
Just get to first.
I just want to know where all the people were that usually criticize Javi and criticize everybody else when they don't run, but Jack Peterson does it, it's okay. I'm sure if Rizzo would have done it, it would have been Teehees and Tahas.
Get your jersey.
Little lollipops.
Get your jerseys.
It? Lollipops and juice boxes, Chris?
LOL and lollipops, man.
Yeah.
Nothing but fun and grab blank. You know how it goes.
You can say grab ass, can't you?
I'm just trying to clean it up for the kids, you know?
332-3776.
All ages show.
We have our great clips, great clip of the day. It is really
Hi, Chris,
good.
I'm Tom. I don't know if you've met me before. For the kids.
Fun and grab blanks, you know.
We're going to have more baseball conversation with Passan, but if you've been lusting for more Justin Fields information, there was someone on the radio station today who talked about when Justin Fields should play and if it was a good pick for the Bears. We're going to play that for you next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
I got some Justin Fields sound to play for you here in a minute. Todd McShay was on Greeny. Loves him. He told us he loved him, too, before the draft.
I think McShay and I both had him as the second best quarterback on our boards, didn't we?
Oh, look at you two. I want to get to McRoberts, though, here. McRoberts, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind? Or not?
I'm here.
You have us on mute again?
Did you have us on mute last time?
Oh, no.
I think you did.
I'm here. Wasn't that going through?
No, I got you.
Got you now.
Couple quick things on baseball, even though I never call them baseball. Baseball sucks. I thought Bleck had a couple good ideas like a week or two ago on baseball.
Okay.
So here's what's going on with baseball. My dad was a high school level umpire too for a while, and I had this discussion with him about the shift. The baseball players aren't even playing a position anymore. They're just out there. So they're just defenders. And I know soccer players have positions too, but, you know, there's no offsides in baseball. They're just out there fine if they're going to shift. But, and then, well, that, and I forgot the other part.
Oh, boy.
Hold on.
It's cool.
Hold on.
It's all right.
Stick with me for a second. Black was saying about a slaughter rule and stuff like that last week. So here's the thing. Here's the other part of why baseball sucks. There's no urgency in baseball to score or whatever, to even throw the ball.
Like the pitcher, you mean from the pitcher? You know what I would say, McRoberts, to that?
So, Black was talking about introducing a slaughter rule, and my one idea, and I'll let you guys comment on this, is instead of having the runner on second base in extra innings, why not just make it a sudden death, almost like how hockey sort of like, if they get to overtime and the losing team still gets a point, it's sort of like an inverse sort of, almost like a benefit of, okay, you guys got the extra innings, but now, like, Sylvie, you were sort of commenting on that sort of stuff earlier, like how the overtimes are all different, get them, hopefully we score, hopefully that's over. So if the away team hits a home run, just let it be over. It's just, you know.
Like in the NFL,
sure.
whoever, if you score a touchdown over, first, the other team doesn't. Yeah, I mean, I don't love that for baseball, but,
you guys are easily entertained. Like, you have bright lights and loud noises get you going. And that's fine.
Why do you have to discredit me?
That's fine.
Like, you take great offense when I tell you that college football does the same thing. It manufactures that football team in scoring position. They're close to the red zone to start a drive. They're doing the same thing in baseball. They are putting, they're manufacturing a runner in scoring position.
Why do you have to lean on somebody else to manufacture it for you? Do it yourself. Make a stop. Flip the field. Field position, baby. That's the way the game's played for 60 minutes.
You don't like the college overtime?
No. I don't like any of them. You just called me a name.
No, I said that.
Yes, you did. You got your panties in a bunch over there because of my statement, and then you called me stupid?
I didn't call you stupid.
I think your transgression is more egregious than mine. Play defense. That's a part of the game. Make a stop. Flip the field. Like, I mean, I don't think that my idea is, like, archaic or caveman-ish.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. We will continue this because I love the 10th inning rule.
Welcome to the Greatest Clips on ESPN 1000, presented by Great Clips.
Love the partnership with Great Clips. The Great Clip of the day, Todd McShay on Greeny's show, talking about Justin Fields and the Bears.
I love the pick. I love it. I mean, we how many times did we talk leading up to the draft about how, you know, the Bears are kind of in that middle spot. They're on the outside looking in. You got Washington at 19. You got the Patriots at 15 sitting ahead of them. Denver at 9. And we think all these quarterbacks are going to come off the board in the top 10. And all of a sudden they see Denver passes on a quarterback. And that was kind of the pinnacle moment, if you will. Once they passed on a quarterback at 9, I think Chicago then realized, hey, we can make a move, and let's go get a guy. And not just a guy, but a guy. Listen, I thought he was the 4th best quarterback, but I didn't think there was much distance between he and Trey Lance. And Mel thought he was the 2nd best quarterback. And they got him at 11 by moving up. And all of a sudden, this organization that was, I mean, you know better than anyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone was miserable about it. And everyone was talking about, you know, they're going to fire their GM. They're going to lose 10, 12 games this year. Now, all of a sudden, there's hope and there's excitement. And I think, to be honest, I like Andy Dalton, but I would put Fields in there as soon as he's ready to go. I mean, the second you think he understands and is ready to handle the offense, I would put him in there and let him go play, because the mobility he brings just a different element to the offense that they've had in a long time. And I've talked to a couple people in their personnel department. They're excited about finally having a big-time playmaker at that position.
Changes everything. That was good stuff from McShay.
We have some thoughts on that.
Let's talk more about that. Jeff Passan's going to join us in 2 short minutes. It was just like 48 hours ago that he sent out an article saying some in the Sox clubhouse are questioning Tony La Russa. And now this happened yesterday. What now? We'll talk to Passan in 2 minutes.